Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story.
Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. This is a wonderful place where women get to be real with each other and share their stories. Now, we highly recommend, if you're new, checking out episode 46, and that will give you the most up-to-date information about our 501c3 nonprofit Story Night. It will introduce you to our board members and tell you a little bit about our history and our purpose and our vision. I'll mention this later in the episode, but in addition to this podcast, we have 4 live events each year. And at those events, I will often have some baskets on tables, and ladies get to nominate other ladies in the community who have pretty wonderful stories and they think they should come on this podcast. And that is how I got connected with my guest for this episode. So whoever nominated Pamela, thank you so much. It's been such a joy to connect with you, Pamela, and thank you for being willing to do this. I want to tell everybody that this story has some heavy topics, some very mature topics. So we're going to start with just meeting Pamela. Thank you so much for being willing to do this. This takes a lot of courage. I'll probably say that several times on this episode. But before we dive into any of your story, would you just introduce yourself to everybody? Maybe tell them who you are and what you're doing today.
Sure. My name is Pamela Berkery. And I was born in Canton, Ohio, which is Football Hall of Fame, you know. And we lived in Lake Cable until I was 8 years old. And then from there, we moved to Toledo. And then in 1970, I ended up living in Salem, Oregon. I have 3 beautiful girls whom I'm very proud of. I have 7 grandchildren, 4 which are not blood, but their family, and they call me Nana. 2 stepchildren and 3 great-grandchildren, so I'm pretty proud of all of them. I have been widowed since 2017.
And as I understand, you have written something pretty beautiful and impactful fairly recently.
I have. It has actually come from a real trauma and dark season in my life. And out of this came a book that I'm pretty proud of. And it is short stories, inspirational, spiritual, and it's a journal. So I guess I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah, because as we go through your story, we'll get to find out how that even came to be, right? Because so many times when I get to talk with women who have written something, whether that's a blog or a book or a journal, or maybe they started a nonprofit or they're doing some other incredible work, it almost always comes out of their own stories. Which is the case for you.
Yes.
And so we're going to go out of order. Listeners, just so you know, we're going to go a little bit out of chronological order here. We're going to hear a more recent story and then an early childhood story, but then it will all come together to connect to the launch, the inspiration of the book that you just wrote. And we'll include a link to that in the episode notes, because I imagine some listeners will really relate and they will want to get connected with that. And so I just want to say, for anybody who's new, as you're listening to this, it's really easy to think that when you hear one particular story, that that's what all the episodes are like. And they're very diverse. So today's episode is really heavy with mature topics. Not all of them are. Some of them are really lighthearted. We have ladies from all different backgrounds, cultures, worldviews. We have ladies of all different age groups just coming to be real and to tell their story, because we believe that stories matter no matter what your story is. And we just want to share them so that we can practice the art of listening. That's something we feel like has been lost a little bit. And often, as soon as somebody says one thing that maybe you don't relate with or you disagree with, we have a tendency to just cut them off, rather than to just let them share their story. And you might find that maybe you're on, I don't know, opposite ends of the political, philosophical, theological spectrum, but you find that there's something in common. Maybe you both suffered cancer. Maybe you both went through a deep grief. Maybe you both, you know, experienced widowhood. And suddenly there's something that builds a bridge, something that makes a connection. And that is why so many women are willing to go back through the darkness and the hard and the ugly of their stories, go relive some of the suffering in order to build those bridges and build that community and be real, because somebody out there needs to hear this. Somebody needs this encouragement. So with that, we're going to start the first part of this episode, the first part of your story, actually fairly recently in 2024, just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So what happened in February of 2024?
On February 19th, 2024, it was my birthday. I had a heart attack. I was feeling a lot of pain in my chest, and I had already loaded the car, ready to go to the beach with some girlfriends. And I talked to my daughter, and she said, "Mom, just go to the hospital, you know, and get checked up." So I convinced her that I would go to the hospital in Depot Bay and get checked up there. So we ended up stopping at the hospital, and they decided to keep me there. Later that day, all of my girlfriends came in with cake and balloons and a gift for me, and it was just so fun and so sweet of them, and I really appreciated that they did that. But by the evening, I was transported to Providence Medical Center in Portland for more tests. I ended up there for a week, and the result was inflammation of the myocardium, which is the thick middle layer of your heart wall that is responsible for contractions. So I was glad that we found out what it was, but it took several months for me to get my strength back and my energy back. By September, I was in preparation of having a roommate come in and live with me for as long as she wanted. I was really thrilled over the fact that she was going to come in. We were working out in a garage, and there was a workbench, and it was covered with laminate, and I thought I'd just break the laminate, and I ended up slipping on it and getting a head concussion and breaking off fragments in my shoulder, and I ended up at Newburgh Emergency Room. So that meant more rest. During that rest period time, I often visited Pino Vista Wine Tasting Lounge on 3rd Street in McMinnville, because I have a bunch of friends there. And talking to some of my friends, they wondered how I was doing, and I said that I have a new roommate, and they asked me how that was going, and I said that it was really different, and I didn't expect as much change as what happened. Yeah.
Well, and just pausing right there for a moment, because if I'm doing the math right, you said you were widowed in 2017, and this would have been 7 years later, and listening to your story of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, I'm guessing you had been then living alone for 7 years.
Yes.
That's a very long time.
Yeah.
And then to now shift gears into having a roommate, whereas before in your life it was a husband and children, and then 7 years of being completely on your own.
Right.
That's a big change.
Yes.
You know, that you're probably not expecting at that time in your life.
Right. Well, unfortunately, it had gotten back to her, and she confronted me with it and told me that I had crossed a line of trust with her. And
by talking about it with other people?
Right. And I just would never, ever want to hurt anybody, and let alone her. She was such a dear friend to me. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And there wasn't any reason that I needed to argue or anything with her, because it wouldn't have done any good at that time. But she didn't feel like she could remain friends with me, and I felt the most horrific pain of loss with her, because she was such a close, dear friend. And I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because she had been going through so much trauma and heartache herself, and I did cross that trust line. Needless to say that I was very distraught and I felt terrible, and I had grief consume me, and I started crying and went into depression. Truthfully, I'd never want to hurt anybody. Now keep that in mind.
You know, I am so glad you're willing to share some of this, because I don't think adult women talk about it very much, just our relationships with our friends. You are describing some things, and I know there's more to come in your story that will touch on this as well. Some of the things that we all went through when we were younger, and that, you know, as teenagers, we were always talking about of who said what, and how did this person's feelings get hurt, and who felt betrayed, and friendships that were broken, and now you're best friends, and now you're not best friends. And a lot of that that we are very familiar with from our younger years, but it happens as adults, and it happens in senior years as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get talked about very much. Just those friendships and the delicacies of friendships, and how something that might not bother one person at all absolutely crushes another person. Yeah. I think most of us very genuinely would say we have never had any intention of hurting somebody or crossing a line or breaking trust or doing anything of that nature. I just imagine a lot of women listening are like, that's happened to me before, or something that they did not mean as a problem at all turned into something huge.
Yes.
And then they have that horrible grief and guilt that weighs on them.
Right, right. Yeah, it weighed on me. She did find another place to live, and I stayed positive with her the whole time. We really never brought the subject back up again. Moving on to October of 2024, I had been saving for over a year to go to a villa with six other women to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. For 5 days, we would have this whole big villa to ourselves with infinity pool and people that cooked for us and served for us. And it was just something that was so exciting. And I was really honored that they asked me to go with them. A few days before that, I went to Pino Vista Wine Tasting Lounge again and sat with some friends. And while we were there, a male friend came in and we invited him to sit with us. Now, he always flirted with me, and most of the time I felt uncomfortable about it. And I told him on several occasions, don't flirt with me, to leave me alone, because he was in a relationship. That's okay. Even though it was rocky, I had no business accepting his advances. As the evening went on and I was very excited for this vacation and feeling really good, I lost my boundaries and I really didn't even think about it. I just felt good with his compliments and things he was saying to me, and I went along with everything. He invited me to his house for a drink. We had my favorite drink and we're sitting there talking and enjoying each other's company, and it became inappropriate and I didn't do anything about it, and neither did he. And it just felt good with him. I had known him for some time and it felt normal. The phone started ringing, and it rang and it rang and it rang, and he turned off his phone, which made his girlfriend even more suspicious. The next day, I received a text message from his girlfriend, and she was very, very angry. The text message was absolutely the most horrible thing anybody has ever said to me. And it hurt me really bad, and I wanted to deny it, but of course I knew I was wrong. And she said she was going to tell all of our friends. And what made it worse was I got a message from my daughter, and this still upsets me. And she told my daughter everything and called me names, which was very inappropriate. I was very shocked at this, because never in a million years would I have ever wanted my children to know that mistake or anything intimate about my life. At this time, words weren't enough. I couldn't say anything apology. I waited and didn't talk to my daughter for a little while. And then when I did, it wasn't right either. I didn't do it right. And so she continued to be very hurt and upset about it. I did write, I'm going to call her X, a card apologizing and very sincerely. I don't know if she even opened it up, but it doesn't matter. And I vowed at that time that I would not get into any of their situation again. All she really wanted was blood. She just wanted to lash out and be vindictive. Then I found out that when she confronted him, he blamed it all on me and threw me under the bus. And I was mortified. I was hurt and disgusted that he couldn't admit his true feelings to her. I am responsible for my own feelings and my own actions. I am responsible for them, and I accept that I made a huge mistake and I hurt lots of people. And I kept telling myself I'm not the only one here to blame, that there was other people involved that should have taken their own responsibility. But I needed to stop thinking of their problems and start resolving my own.
And again, this story, this part of your story, is something that probably many women are familiar with, but we generally only talk about them in the teen years, the 20s, and like these younger years of, you know, if there's any infidelity, any inappropriate behavior, jealousy, broken trust, betrayal, all of these things within a friendship group. We're so familiar with this in younger years.
Right.
And that was one thing that I thought was so brave and unique about your story, shedding light on the fact that that stuff doesn't end. Mm-mm. When you finally get out of your adolescence and early adult years.
No.
It carries on and on and on, even into older senior years. I imagine many women have experienced being blamed for something. Now, sometimes they get blamed for something that was 0% their fault. They might get blamed for something that was 100% their fault. And they might get blamed for something that was partly their fault, but then they get all of it, and the other people who were to blame come out scot-free, like they couldn't possibly right. have ever done anything wrong. And again, of just a familiar story to so many people listening.
Mm-hmm.
And right. as I'm doing the math again, this is right before you're about to go on this dream vacation that you've waited for a year.
Right.
Now dealing with every emotion you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't sleep. My heart was racing with remorse. I felt so much shame. I was so disgusted with myself. I lost every bit of excitement to even go on this vacation. The next day, our mutual friend and I were to go together to Puerto Vallarta. And I'm thinking the only way she knew this was that X had either called her and told her or text her about what had happened.
So the ladies that you're going to go do this dream vacation with are connected with the group that was some of them.
Yes. So she picked me up and we were to stay at a hotel that night. And no sooner did I get my suitcase in the room that she came unglued on me. And she had every right, because she was close to this lady too. She had every right to be upset that I broke a crucial trust between all of us. And she screamed at me. And I just had never been treated like that. And it really tore my heart out. And I just crumbled in crying and shame. And I just wanted to get a cab back home. We did vow to not say anything to anybody while we were on our vacation, to keep it quiet. But while we were there, she ignored me. She did make a couple snide remarks, which hurt me. But I tried not to let anybody know the pain that I was going through. And so I would go to my room and cry my eyes out and journal and just stay quiet and pray and try really, really hard to enjoy the rest of the time that I had there. after that day for 5 days at this beautiful villa, three of us, including her, went to a resort. I was feeling very lonely and separated from the other two girls, and I just couldn't get my joy up. I was feeling very guilty and full of shame. So I was really glad to get back home. Once I got home, I completely isolated myself. I journaled. At that time, I just had spiral notebooks, and so I journaled like crazy. And sometimes I'd journal during the day, sometimes all day long. I just didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to get dressed. I just wanted to be invisible. I plunged into this depression from October all the way through to December 25.
So over a year.
Yeah.
From these incidences that happened, and the combination of your own guilt and the shame you were feeling.
And losing two friends.
And the loss of the friends and the way they viewed you. And for anybody out there who also, you know, maybe is a people pleaser, has a thin skin where it really upsets you when somebody else is mad at you, or when somebody else thinks less of you.
Right.
I do have friends in my life that they brushes right off them. They can they can think whatever they want. Doesn't bother me. I am not one of those people. Yeah. I've probably way more like you. And I know a lot of listeners are too, where if there is anybody who thinks anything, even the littlest bit negative about me, whether it's valid or not, my world is over.
Right.
I'm just
absolutely
crumbled.
Yeah. And you search and search and search where that came from and how you can heal it.
Right.
And
how do I fix this? How do I solve it? How do I make it better? Again, whether it's did I actually do something wrong? Was there anything? Or, I did make this mistake, whether I meant to or didn't mean to. And then you're just constantly trying to repair those relationships and have everybody like you again.
Yeah, I know it.
So this really launched you into a very severe depression.
Yes, it
for
did.
Over a year. And you mentioned the word isolation.
Yes.
Because for anybody who's not familiar with McMinnville, Oregon, it's not a super tiny town, but it's relatively small. Mm-hmm. And it's small enough where you're going to have all of your friends cross over with other friends, cross over with others. So it's not like you can just go out and about and do all of your regular life and see all of these other people and not run into those who have been a part of this chapter of your story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As I plunged into this deep depression, I felt unworthy and very shamed. I was broken. I had lost my friends. The loss of my own self, and the fact that I knew my daughter had found this out, that was the worst of all the stupid stuff I've ever done, was to break her again and hurt her beyond belief. I felt like I had done it all over again, had hurt my children.
And now, this is where we're going to start rewinding the tape a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we've just gone through a very recent story of just a couple of years ago. And so we're going to rewind to about 5 years ago. So about 3 years prior to everything that you just described.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Okay, so my husband had passed away in 2017. But before he passed away, we had a business in our home, a very successful business, and it was hard to leave it. So I did not explore McMinnville. I never walked down Third Street. I was just consumed for 14 years with this business. So I was asked to join a local organization called Seroptimus of McMinnville.
And this is after your husband passed away?
It was just before, while we were still living in our home. It was just before then. So probably 2015 or 16, probably 16, that I joined this organization. And it helped me get out and meet new women, especially women more my age. And in that time, I met X, and she invited me to meet the gang. And the gang was people that were younger than me, more my daughter's ages. And they were wild. They just knew how to have fun, and I wasn't used to any of that. I mean, we did crazy stuff, stayed up way too late, got way too drunk, puffed on cigarettes, did inappropriate things with other people that we shouldn't have, even using language I normally don't say. I just, for that 3 years, I was really out of the context of who I really was.
Sure.
It was different. And
and again, just placing it at the time of your life.
Yeah.
This all started right before you lost your husband.
Actually, I started with Seroptimus and met X. So then my husband passed away and Seroptimus was a real support
sure.
for me. And then during the times of recovery, actually, you know, because there was that time of being alone that I was still seeing, going to Seroptimus, and then that's when I met X.
And then this whole new world sort of gets
started.
Presented to you. And as anybody who's done any research on or experienced grief, you're in a very vulnerable state.
Yeah. I was going through things I hadn't gone through as a teenager. I hadn't gone through in my 20s, which is a whole nother podcast of that part of my life. But I hadn't experienced that,
Right.
And so this was all fun, wild, and crazy for me. And I really enjoyed it, but it took a toll on my older body. So after the incident that I had just gone through, I decided that I gave up all of this craziness. And I have no desire to go back into that at all.
And so as we're looking at this recent season of your life, and we haven't heard the early part of your story yet, but as I understand it, you did not go through a lot of the things that many women maybe go through as in their teens or college years and things like that. And then fast forward now where you've lost your husband, going through that grief, finding a new group of people, much younger, having kind of, I don't know if midlife crisis is the right term, but something mm-hmm. of that, you know, maybe a widowhood crisis or just exploring a way of life that you never had before. Didn't get that quote unquote out of your system as a young girl. Mm-hmm. And then, a few years later, then we have the incident with your roommate and then the incident with the group of friends and the man and just things totally unraveling. And so now you're at a point of saying, okay, I am done. These choices, this behavior, this lifestyle is not working. I need to go back to who I truly am, my real self. And so now we're going forward a bit in the story to Christmas of 2024, right?
Right.
And so at this point, you are just a couple of months out of that big Mexico trip. Mm-hmm. The depression is very real. The isolation is very real. And this is when something happens that's mm-hmm. going to start the writing process, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I was invited to be with my family in Albuquerque with my granddaughter, her husband, and all of my grandchildren. And I was just super excited about it. And I thought at that time, I'm not going to show, not going to indicate any kind of pain that I was going through. I was going to enjoy myself while I was there. And for Christmas, my granddaughter gave me two journals that literally changed my life. One was a prayer and gratitude journal, and the other one was just a journal. The prayer and gratitude journal had a scripture verse in it, and then things you would journal about, like, today I pray for, and I'm thankful for, and today will be great because, and these blessings happen today, and the last one was thoughts for a better tomorrow. And how did she know this would be the best gift she could give me? The journals prompted me to be more focused about my feelings and to be able to express more of what I was going through. And especially thoughts for a better tomorrow, gave me inspiration of trying to be more positive. Through this time of being so downtrodden, I turned to a devotional book, which is called Mornings with Jesus. Years ago, I subscribed for it, and then I didn't keep it up, but it just kept coming in. And they piled up in my room, and I'd give them away to nursing home and people and stuff. And they kept piled up again, and this time I kept them. And I don't know why, but I kept them. So I got out the booklets and I started reading the scripture and reading the stories. By March of 2025, I was still depressed and trying hard to get over it. I would look in the mirror and I couldn't see myself. I saw somebody different in the mirror and I just decided not to look at myself very much. You know how it is when you get depressed, you don't want to put makeup on and even wash your face for a few days. So that's the way I looked. In desperation, I thought it was best if I wasn't here anymore. I am a disgrace to my family. I lost my friends and they hadn't started to reach out to me and I hadn't reconciled with them and I needed to do that. But I was so buried in shame and felt so alone that I thought that I'd just find a way to leave this earth. And as I thought about different ways, I thought of my daughter finding me. How awful that would be for her. And I just couldn't do that to her. And this one morning, I was feeling so alone. And I was really crying hard and really laden down with shame and grief. I just could not forgive myself. And I just yelled out to God, putting my arms up in the air and saying, "Please, Lord, take this from me. I cannot go on like this anymore. And I am so sorry for what I did, and I really need you to forgive me." And I pleaded with God and surrendered myself to him. Whatever he wanted me to do, I would do. In that same minute of tears and snot running down my face, I began to feel this warmth, like a warm blanket placed around my shoulders and arms. And I knew then it was Jesus comforting me and telling me that I was forgiven. And this is all in like a 5-minute time. I was so amazed at how I felt a relief and joy coming over me. But I was so exhausted from carrying this heavy load for so long. And I knew I was forgiven. But now the biggest chore of all was to forgive myself. And could I do that?
And again, you have touched on a topic that I know every woman listening relates with in some way, and that's the topic of forgiveness. Whether that's forgiving yourself or forgiving somebody else. And we've all experienced the need for that, and we've probably all struggled with that in some way. Sometimes it's very hard to forgive ourselves. Sometimes it is very hard, seemingly impossible, to forgive somebody else. And as we talk more about the early part of your years and your childhood and some of those stories, it's going to make a lot of sense why forgiveness was hard, why boundaries are hard, and so many other things that show themselves in your later years because they're a result of your early years. And we have covered so much of your story, but really just over the last 7 to 9 years or so. And there is so much more to your story, again, that gives context to a lot of your more recent stories. Your childhood was full of abuse, and that led to so many other things as you were growing up. And we are running out of time for this particular episode. And so, ladies, I'm sorry to leave you on a cliffhanger here a little bit, but Pamela, would you be willing to come back and record a second time?
Yes, I would.
So I think we'll pause the story here so that we can really dive in more to your childhood and some of the things you experienced. And ladies listening, you'll start to see these threads again of boundaries and abuse and forgiveness and all of these things that have been a part of Pamela's life that many listeners have been through also. They know those experiences. They've walked through them themselves or maybe alongside a sister or a friend or a daughter. And these are things that, again, they're not often talked about. We don't take as much time to sit and listen to somebody tell their whole story. And it can be uncomfortable to listen to somebody tell a story that includes hard things or dark things or ugly things that happened. It triggers feelings in the listener, but it's so needed to talk these things through. It's so healing for the speaker. And I hear that all the time from women who come and are willing to bravely tell their stories here. They tell me afterwards, I didn't know how much I needed to tell that. I didn't know how much healing I would get by sharing this. And so hopefully that is your experience as well, Pamela. And not just in sharing on this podcast, but as we mentioned at the beginning, you wrote a book and we're going to revisit that. We're going to talk more about that in the second episode. So we'll have you come back. We'll talk about your childhood. We'll revisit all of these themes that we've touched on in this episode. And I just want to thank you for being so vulnerable to share this.
Well, thank you, Jessica. I am honored that I was nominated to be here and for you to ask me to do a podcast. I am very honored about that. And I just want to thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And thank you. And as you said, you were nominated. And I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that you were nominated at a live event. And so circling back to that, again, for all of those of you who are new to Story Night, in addition to this podcast, we have these four live events each year. They are free. It's a girls' night out, 300 or more women all coming together for appetizers, some drinks, some amazing prizes, raffles, bunches of women around round tables, just a chance to get to know each other, meet new friends, come with the girlfriends you already know. And then one woman comes on stage to tell her story. And our next event is coming up around the corner. It's on April 30th. It will be at the Chehalem Cultural Center in Newburgh. And the speaker is Lindsay Cooper. Lindsay is a wife and a mother of five children whose life changed in an instant. In 2022, her seven-year-old son was struck by a truck, resulting in a traumatic brain injury. And that would just destroy any mother. Every mother's worst nightmare in so many ways. But Lindsay managed to keep her thoughts steady. She's now a certified master life coach and is very devoted to helping other women go through their thoughts during all of the crises that can happen in somebody's life. You don't want to miss this beautiful and powerful story. We would love to have you there. There are some free tickets still available, so jump on our website, storynighthope.com, and you can register to get your free ticket. We hope you invite all the ladies in your life as well to join us for that one. It'll be really special. And if you are listening to this after April 30th, 2026, still go on our website because you can get tickets for the next live event that we have coming up. Now, none of this could be possible without some support. As I mentioned earlier, we are a 501c3 nonprofit charity, just bringing stories to women. And we want to keep doing this. And we want to keep offering these events for free to the women in the community. And we want to keep offering this podcast as well. So if this touches you in any way and you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation, there's a link in the episode notes. We would be so honored to have your support, even if it's $5. Every little bit helps us continue this outreach. If you are a business and want to do some sponsorship with us, some partnering and advertise your business with us, we would love to have you do that as well. You can reach out to us. And we always want to close our episodes with a big thank you to our 2026 headline sponsoring business, Grace Craze. And Grace Craze is an international franchise of beautiful charcuterie boards and boxes. They can do catering. You can get just a little lunch. But we have one here locally in McMinnville, Oregon, owned by Jennifer Richter. And her story is on episode 28. So you want to stop and take a listen to that one. She's an incredible woman with a beautiful story. Now, my challenge and encouragement to everyone listening is to go over to Grace Craze, get a charcuterie box with a friend, or maybe somebody you barely know, go have a picnic and take the time to ask her to tell you her story. And maybe we can keep growing this community and building bridges and relationships over charcuterie boxes and story time. So, again, thank you so much to Grace Craze and Jennifer Richter. And thank you again, Pamela, for being willing to open up your very raw story and go through it again to relive it. You have to do that when you tell it. And I recognize that and just thank you for being willing to do that. We will come back, ladies, to hear the rest of Pamela's story. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get alerted when part two of Pamela's story comes out. We do hope that you were encouraged by this part of her story and that you come back and join us next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story. Your story matters, and you are not alone.